Support for Millennial is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace. Share your ideas with the world by making a blog, portfolio, or online store. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code Millennial, M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L, at checkout and get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
Recently on Millennial.
We're sorry to inform you that you have not been selected for an NPR Croc Fellowship this year.
I get rejected from the Croc Fellowship, a dream opportunity with National Public Radio. But I bounce back. Because this is the day that I've been waiting for. Walking to local. I'm about ready to give them my spiel. Up until this point, I had been working at the restaurant for almost a year. And I walk in with my microphone and my big headphones, and I go over to my managers and I tell them. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
I am early, and I'm bombarding you with all my recording equipment because I have some news for you.
Okay.
I don't know, is Hilaviv here?
Yeah, she's here.
Okay. You can't hear it, but my manager just asked me, are you quitting? The answer was yes. I had put in my notice, and I had thrown away my server shoes because I was starting the next chapter of my life. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about maneuvering your 20s captured in real time, and this is the last episode of season one. I know, I didn't tell a lot of people, and I didn't even tell my mom until recently, but this is the last episode because we are about to springboard into a new chapter. Hi, this is Megan. Is this Maureen? Good, how are you? I know it's a little hard to hear the voice on the other end, but I'm on the phone with Maureen, a senior producer at a local New England public radio station. And she's looking to hire someone to help create a new podcast. I had applied for the position a couple weeks earlier, and then all of a sudden, I found myself on the phone, partaking in the first round of interviews. And after I hung up the phone, I was feeling pretty good. So good that I barged into my boyfriend Ben's office to tell him about it.
Well, that was kind of cool.
Not only did I feel like the conversation went well, but the position looked like something I could see myself doing.
Yeah, they're like looking to do an outdoor environmental program, kind of like a narrative, not This American Life, but more produced. And I was like, that's tight. Like, that's exactly what I wanted to hear, you know?
On paper, this job sounded ideal. It would be at a local station. I would still be able to live in New England. And I would be a producer for two shows, a soft daily news show and possibly a narrative-driven show about the environment. A couple of weeks later, I had graduated on to the second round of interviews.
Ben, what are you doing?
The day of, I woke Ben up from a deep slumber because I was too excited to sleep in.
I didn't get any sleep last night.
Really?
Yeah. It's like good and bad because I'm like anxious, but I'm like, well, I'm going to crash later for show.
Oh, no.
I just realized that this is going to be like my first ever big person job interview.
That's what I was trying to say.
Ever. That's pretty wild.
And it's for what you want.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Ooh! Ooh!
I've created a monster.
And that was true. Because before this, I had only interviewed for internships and fellowships. And those jobs had strict timelines, like a year, 6 months, 3 months. But with this job, there was no timeline. This job would also pay for my health insurance, my dental insurance, give me paid vacations, and possibly a retirement plan. What? A fellowship I had applied for, like Croc, would never do that.
It's 10:50. Should I go? Okay.
Have fun.
You wish me luck?
Wish you luck. Text me when you're done.
Okay.
When I first put into my schedule that I was going to meet Maureen, In my head, I thought I was going to go to the station, have some coffee, take a tour. It was going to be casual because it didn't really seem like a big make or break opportunity for me in the same way that the NPR Kroc Fellowship was. Going into this interview, I just thought, all right, I'm going to research some people, come with story ideas, and then put on some heels, smile, and just meet some good people in radio. If this sound of clicking is familiar, it's because you've heard it before at Kroc. I know. I wore the same pair of shoes to both interviews. I can't help it. I love these shoes. But I did second guess putting these on because I couldn't tell if these shoes brought me good luck or bad luck.
Six, please.
That day, I took an elevator up to the top floor. And in 4 hours, I met with a program director, a senior producer, two other producers, and two hosts. And the interviews were enjoyably pretty standard. And each person asked me similar questions, like, tell us about yourself. What's your background? How do you see yourself fitting in with the team? How would you work with the hosts on these shows? What kind of stories do you like? You get the gist. And I was having a good time. But there was this one moment that made me uneasy. I walked in and sat down with the interviewer, and we started talking about the position, my background, and towards the end of the interview, they asked me straight up, "Do you think you'll be bored here?" I told them, "I don't think I would be bored here." And then I asked them, "But you know the show. And you know this place. Do you think I'd fit here?" The interviewer looked at me and said, "There are no wrong choices at your age right now, but you could go anywhere." I've never had such a genuine conversation during an interview before. But the truth was, that conversation threw everything into question for me. I had no idea whether or not I did fit there. And how would I know?
Hey, I'm done. Okay, all right, I'll be outside. All right, bye.
I walked out of that building with a brain that felt like it was crashing and cheeks that felt like they were recovering from being in a beauty pageant. So when Ben pulled up, I couldn't have been happier.
We're doing big things, Chuck.
Apparently, so many decisions to be made.
That same day, we went to Ben's family's house, and I sat around the kitchen with Ben's dad, Chuck, who was preparing dinner. When it comes to my life post-graduation, Chuck has been there since the beginning. He even encouraged me to make this podcast. Remember when Ben and I told him about making the first episode of Millennial?
Well, what the hell's the holdup?
I'm working on the first episode.
Oh, okay.
Same guy. I wanted to be excited, telling Chuck about my interview, but I could hear the hesitation in my own voice. I didn't know if this job was a good fit for me. I didn't know if I was going to be challenged there, if I would find mentors, if I would be able to work on my own stories, and if I would be fulfilled 8 hours a day. At the same time, a part of me wanted to shake myself and say, but this is what you've been working for months. Plus, you're a newbie. You're fresh out of college. You need to start somewhere. And this, on paper, looks like a great place to start. And then all of a sudden, the argument that I was having in my head started happening in front of me.
No, she's not taking your job.
No, hold on, stop. I have a theoretical situation for you.
Yes, go ahead.
Unknowingly, Ben and his dad were hashing out all of my worries and concerns in the kitchen.
So what I'm saying is you would take a job where if you went in and applied, the person in that job told you that you were too experienced, you were too far along, that you were a big fish in this little pond and that you would get bored and that she thinks that you could do anything you wanted to do in this industry. You're saying you'd take that job. You'd consider that job.
Well, you got to consider. All right, say you haven't worked in 5 years and suddenly an NPR's got one.
You've got people all over the continental United States who aren't working to their capacity, right?
Yeah, and you're going to be another one that's not working to their capacity.
I know that, but that's what she wants to be on this line. She wants to be in radio, right?
Yeah.
So here she has nothing. Here she has a full-time job.
Well, you could also look at it as here she's got options. Here she's in a low-level job that she can't leave for 2 years because if you leave your first job before a year or more, like you look like an asshole.
Okay, so say...
You see what I'm saying.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. So what happens in 2 weeks if they call her back and say, Megan, we want you to come with us. We're going to start you at 56.5. We'll have six-month reviews. May go up from there. What are you going to do?
I had no idea what I was going to do. But the ball wasn't even in my court yet. They hadn't even offered me the position. For all I knew, I could get an email that said, we've chosen someone else. It wouldn't be the first time. A week went by. 2 weeks went by. 3. Then 4. Then 5. And nothing. And I was getting a little frustrated. So I called up my good friend Alex to talk about it.
I feel really tired of waiting for someone to kind of give me the key to the gate to open, you know, like...
Yeah, well, that's like, fuck the gate, though. Like, you don't need the key.
Right, yeah, no, I know.
I was getting tired of waiting. I was tired of waiting on people's decisions I couldn't control. And I was fed up with putting my life on pause for a position I didn't even know I wanted. So in my head, I basically told myself to stop thinking about it. Assume I didn't get it so I could move forward. And that's exactly what I did. That's when I started doing more independent projects. Ben and I got a grant to shoot a short documentary about an endangered species in Maine. We also started working on a larger feature-length film, which we had never done before. I started pitching ideas to bigger radio shows and getting feedback. And I was starting to think about different ways I could make Millennial bigger.
Do you think Millennial could be something that's long-term?
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible.
This is Alex again.
But I think for me, if I were you, the real question is, what exactly do I want to get out of Millennial? Why is it important to me? Are you nervous or anxious or down on yourself about the fact that, like, Millennial is your quote-unquote side project and, you know, you don't quote-unquote make money off of it?
No, not at all. Yeah, when I got all of those rejections from these places that I kind of had my heart set on, I was able to, like, come back to something. And I feel like because I have this thing that I've created, I'm able to still move forward with this desire to become the person that I want to be in the future, you know? Yeah, in that sense, I think Millennial has saved me a lot, you know?
Because I felt like I was totally in control over who I became in the future, whether or not I got this job didn't really matter anymore. And then all of a sudden, when things were ramping up in my independent career life, that's when they called me. 8 weeks had gone by since I first submitted the application, and 6 weeks had gone by since my in-person interview. I'm not going to lie, it kind of felt like a typical rom-com scenario. Like the moment you realize you don't want to date the most attractive man in the room is the moment that he recognizes you and wants to hang out. This radio job had become my attractive man. Side note, this next scene is staged, but the conversation is word for word what happened.
Well, I was calling with good news. We'd like to offer you the position.
Oh, wow!
So, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, I talked with all your references and boy, were they terrific. You know, we're just interested in what your thoughts are, and if you'd like to proceed, we can talk about start date.
I do just want to take some time to think about everything, though. I had 5 days.
Like, how do you feel coming out of it? Just like, how do you feel?
How do I feel?
What happened? It's the synopsis, you know?
I mean, I think... I think... do I want this?
Are you interested in this?
For months, I've been fantasizing about what it would be like to wake up and go to work as a professional. But maybe I've always been a professional radio producer. Maybe it's like being a writer. You don't become a professional writer when you get published. You become a professional writer when you decide to wake up at 5 a.m. every single morning and write. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was torn between this life I had carved out for myself, that I had built from scratch, this rhythm where I was the boss, and this idea of what it means to be a professional, working for someone who pays for your health insurance in exchange for a stable life and 8 hours of your day. Taking this job felt like I was going to be giving a lot of things up. But at the same time, this podcast and my independent projects were definitely not paying the bills. And so I really started to wonder, is this what it means to grow up? To sell your time so you can live comfortably? And then what happens to the projects that you make in your closet that make you feel like you're living on the edge of your seat, that make your gut churn, and make you feel like you are challenging yourself? There is a certain kind of satisfaction and fulfillment I get from making this podcast that I know I can't get from anywhere else. Which leaves Ben and I in a car, talking about this next decision.
Because I guess up until this point, it's like I wanted my job. I want my job to be something I can throw my whole life into, you know? And where I can feel fulfilled, where someone is like paying me to make something that I love and I'm happy and I'm enjoying it and I'm learning and it takes a lot of work. And I feel like if you would have asked me 3 months ago, would you take it? I would be like, yes, of course, you know? And yeah, I think you're right. I don't think you're gonna find any place that's ideal.
What I'm doing is not ideal. It's not ideal. I mean, I do work that I don't want to do, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like... I feel like you do squeeze a lot of fulfillment out of work. You know, you are your own boss. You're able to sustain yourself. I think that's fulfilling, isn't it?
Of course, that is fulfilling, but that's like one aspect. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't like about it, and that's fine. That's just the way it is, right?
Yeah. Do you think it would be super millennial of me not to take this? You know? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I'd hope they wouldn't think about what other people think. Okay, so let's look at it this way. You've spent a year now waiting tables.
I hate thinking about that.
Yeah, but I think it's good to think about right now, right? Because if you look at it that way, you could do a year of anything.
That's true.
You did a year of waiting tables and making audio at nights. And, like, you're given the option of going to a radio station and learning for a year. Or you could do another year of waiting tables.
With hope that something pops up or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's true.
No, I'm just saying, I'm putting that out there. So I mean, that's... You say that you want to work with a team and you want to learn from the team. You have that opportunity. Two, you have credentials and you have cred that when you leave, that means like you are legit in the radio world. I mean, and to my understanding, that's what that means.
Mm-hmm. After that conversation with Ben, I wouldn't say that the sun cleared. An arrow revealed itself, and all of a sudden I knew what choice to make, because I didn't. And maybe my thoughts of confusion and conflict were so loud that the senior producer, Maureen, could hear them. Because it wasn't long after that conversation before I received a surprise phone call from her.
Like, what we really were impressed with you is that you just, like, you didn't answer the questions of, like, what kinds of stories would you bring? Like, literally, you were like, well, these are the types of stories I'm drawn to. Yeah. And we kind of really want someone like that who has a sense of the bigger picture and really has a vision and is creative and can run and bring ideas to the table and bring, and not even just ideas to the table, but new ways of approaching stories and interviews. And, you know, and I think that's why we really would love to have you on the team, that we think that you have that spirit too. You know, like you seem to just get it. So we would absolutely love to have you on board.
One thing a job offers that working for yourself in your closet doesn't is a community of people you can learn from. When I hung up the phone, I remember feeling that feeling of excitement that wasn't there before. Because it's not every day that you get a call from a possible future boss telling you that they appreciate your vision and also explaining why they think you would fit. Throughout this whole process, graduating from college, moving in with Ben, turning down an opportunity at the LA Times because it didn't fit with my line, and making the first episode of this podcast, there was so much gray and uncertainty and discomfort. And I'm not saying that that all of a sudden goes away after a phone call, but for a split moment, I remember thinking to myself, if I don't take this job, will I regret it? And the answer?
All right, I love you.
Me too.
Have a good day.
Fun.
I will. I'll see you. Going to work.
Was yes.
Sunny skies, highs from 80 to the mid 80s. Mostly clear this evening, but then becoming partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s to low 60s.
If I didn't take this job, I would be making millennial and working at the restaurant. But if I took this job, I would be making millennial and then making radio for 8 hours a day alongside a team of people. So right now, I'm trying to live in the best of both worlds because I didn't choose one over the other. I didn't choose the 9-to-5 job over my independent projects. And I didn't choose my independent projects over my 9-to-5 job. I'm learning that timing is everything. And right now, I think this is the time to try to balance both. When I first graduated from college 1.5 years ago, I didn't have a credit card. I didn't have health insurance. I didn't know if I was walking on my line, and I didn't have a job. Now I have a credit card, health insurance, and a job. In fact, I have two, and both of them are on my line. When the sun is shining, I'm working at a local public radio station. But when the sun is not shining, you can find me in my closet making this podcast. Because isn't this the life of someone who's trying to become the person they want to be in the future? The life of someone in their 20s. The life of a millennial. And this millennial has a big master plan for the next season. That's up next.
But first, a word from our sponsors. Support for Millennial comes from Squarespace. Squarespace. Share your ideas with the world by making a blog, portfolio, or online store for only $8 a month. And get a free domain name when you sign up for a year. I think when you make a website, you're investing in your present and future self. Show people what you're doing, or what you want to be doing, by going to squarespace.com. Squarespace is an online platform that is super easy to use and makes sites that look professionally designed, regardless of your skill level. So you don't have to know code and you don't have to watch tutorials online about HTML. The tools are visual, intuitive, and easy to use. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code MILLENNIAL, M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L, at checkout to get 10% off and to support the show. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
In the dark in my closet at 3:22 a.m.
So we're just going to dive into this. When I first started making this podcast, it was an experiment. I was just trying to make radio and practice, and it was hard and I didn't know what I was doing. You know the story. And this podcast has done well, surprisingly well. When I first launched it in January, there are about 600 downloads. And now there are hundreds of thousands of downloads. And that blows me away. And it's organically been picked up by the press. It was in The Guardian, BuzzFeed, The Huffington Post, Medium, The AV Club. It also made a list in Refinery 29. And this is crazy to me, especially because I'm still just in my closet. But the best part about all of this kind of attention is when I open up my inbox and it's filled with letters from listeners. And these aren't the usual thank you letters. In these letters, people tell me about their lives and the uncomfortable parts of growing up. Some of these letters were so moving that I had to jump on the phone and talk to these people.
Hello.
Hi, is this Andrew?
Yeah, hi, you must be Megan Tan.
I am Megan Tan. You wrote me this really great long letter. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah, I remember. I can't remember if I overshared, though.
I mean, I have a whole podcast where I overshare, so.
Mind you, we've never met before in real life, but because of this podcast, I felt like I could just pick up the phone and listen.
My life was kind of unfolding without my control almost, and I decided to take back that control. Like, well, I left New York because I thought of if I went to somewhere completely different that I would just find my problems and solve it. But New York wasn't the problem. It was really how I saw the world, New York being a part of that.
I just remember the feelings of being in my 20s. And there's a lot of fear, I think. And I look back now and I think, what was I afraid of? I have another push-button issue, and that's just, you know, we all carry stuff with us. I had a younger brother who committed suicide when he was 25. So now I have kids who are about that age. And so that's like this other thing that bothers me. You know, when I look at my kids and they don't seem happy, I always worry about that.
I don't know. In so many ways, I've kind of felt like I'm expected to be, I don't know, like tough in a way that's almost antithetical to that. I was just very humbled by listening to someone share, you know, such similar uncertainties and fears and hopes and dreams that I know I feel, but with the general public. I started viewing that as something that's more brave than cowardly.
After I got off the phone, I realized that this community of people is big. So even though I'm in my closet by myself, I'm really not. There are 80 million of us. And in a world where things can easily be so fake, where you can swipe left or right and then a couple of hours hook up with someone,
or where you can't relate to your friends because their lives look so perfect on Instagram, it makes me just want to be even more real. So this is the master plan. Instead of me just talking about myself in my closet alone, I'm getting out of my closet. I'm packing up my car with my lucky boots, some good snacks, and I'm going to be going out and tracking down stories of other people who are going through their 20s, and I'm going to bring them back and share them with you. Because there are so many of you who are listening right now who have your own stories. And I just want to do this thing where I kick down the door and open it up, and I want you to tell me your story. Because in this new season, we have a lot of ideas. Like, how do you deal with your quarter-life crisis? When and how do you decide to get married? How do you pay off your student loans? Why do people go back to graduate school? How do you navigate Tinder? The list is long. And the exciting part is we've already started making some of these. But I can't do it alone, in this closet, by myself. I need your help. Send me your stories, and you could be featured on an upcoming episode of Millennial. Just go to millennialpodcast.org and find the section that says pitch us a story. That's totally what it means, pitch us a story. Tell us a story about how you have or are currently going through this uncomfortable part of becoming an adult. Our ears are open. It's not just about me anymore. It's about us. And don't worry, throughout the episodes, I'm going to be combining updates on my life with the stories of other people's. So before I get out of my closet, I want to give you a sneak peek of the next season of Millennial.
There it is. There it is.
All right, let's go.
Are we in Mexico?
Yeah, we're in Mexico.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
They didn't even check our passports. Oh.
That's right. We go to Mexico. Ben, our friend Dylan, and I were going to Mexico to shoot that feature-length documentary I was telling you about, but things didn't go as smoothly as I expected. More on that in the next episode. But that experience got me thinking about why, when we have issues in our lives, do we think we can run away from them and find ourselves in another country? And why do we idealize these people on social media whose lives look perfect because they're traveling the world? So I tracked down someone who was living the traveler's dream.
I have no idea what I thought about. I bet sometimes I would think about, what the fuck am I doing here? what the hell am I doing here? And look around and there's nothing.
Kinley did what many of us dream about. He left New England to sail around the world. That would last for 3 years. And just like me in Mexico, it wasn't all Instagrams and enlightenment.
Always on the move and transient is really hard, especially when you're traveling on your own, going to the bar by yourself. I've done that countless times, and it's a little humiliating. No, let's call it humiliating.
In the first episode of season 2, we will set sail and find out what finding yourself really means. And after you return home from your adventures, what did you leave behind confronting you at the door? Editing help to create this episode was provided by Alex Kappelman, Ben Severance, and Dylan Ward. Also, special thanks to Maureen, Doria Bermonte, Chuck Severance, Leslie Jones, Andrew, Susanna Reed, and Ashley Norman. For updates on the next episode of Millennial, you can sign up for the newsletter on the website. Follow us on Twitter at HearMillennial, H-E-A-R, Millennial, or like us on Facebook. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Megan Tan, and I will see you on the other side for season 2 of Millennial.